Hello, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Raw Spiel, where we keep it real with the hard truth. I want to thank you all for tuning in on another Friday night of the Raw Spiel. As usual, I have with me on the line Pastor Bolden, the pastor of God's Truth and Deliverance Ministry out of Bolivar, Tennessee. How you doing today, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I'm glad you're able to join us, and I'm glad to have we have an interview tonight with the one that they call the Queen of Quartet. That's how much respect she has amongst her peers, known as the Queen of Quartet. And not only she has so much respect amongst her peers, and she got some haters out there, and hopefully she wouldn't. So she don't mind no sharing some of her experience. I know she done seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. And she's well known for her hit, God Did It. That's not don't that's what she's pretty known for, and she's got more hits than that. I want you all to help me welcome none other than the Queen of Quartet herself, Miss Evelyn Turrentine AG. How you doing today, ma'am?
God bless you. I am well and thanking God for another day, another opportunity to give him praise, honor, and glory, and let somebody know that everything is not gonna be all right. It is all right because Jesus is still alive and well.
Yeah, you're right about that. I'm just so grateful to have you on here. Like I was telling your manager when she reached out to me, the Raw Spirit here, we cover a variety of topics here. Things like the war, marriage, this virus, this COVID-19, a variety of things, abortion. And have Pastor Bolden here, we dive into the word and see what the scripture says about these various things. And also we talk about gospel music too. I'm big time in the quartet. I grew up under, I grew up listening to them Hummingbirds and Canton Spirituals, Pilgrim Jubilees. I was in a quartet group myself. We talk about these things on here, and I always wanted someone that was in that industry, to come on the show, and God worked it out. And we have, Miss Evelyn Turrentine. I feel like I should call you Mother Evelyn.
You're very welcome to. Everybody else does.
Oh yeah, yes, and I'm just so glad you're able to come on here, and I just we just go get right to business here, and like I said before, Ms. Evelyn, you've seen the good, the bad, the ugly. Now, what advice would you have for artists out there? Somebody feel they got a good singing voice. Somebody feel they can, play an instrument real well. What advice would you have for people who aspire to make a living, singing gospel, going out on the road and making a career out of this? What advice would you have for artists, in the quartet or just in the gospel field, period?
Well, the first thing I would say is I believe and I know, as a matter of fact, that if you aspire to gospel music, the first thing you need to do, I believe in first things first. And first, you need to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Oh, yes.
If you're going to sing gospel music, you ought to have a relationship with God. And you don't just get that relationship out on the stage or traveling around singing the music. The relationship comes through prayer and through you accepting Jesus Christ in your life. Because you're going to need it if you're going to do it gospel and do it right according to the word of God. Then you need to first have a relationship with God. And that means you need to have a prayer life as you get ready to embark on a career, because it's not going to be easy. I promise you, it's not easy, but it's worth it. And when I say worth it, I don't mean worth it money-wise. I mean it's worth it because when you're in relationship with him, he makes the way. He is our source. He is our resource. And all those, you know, you hit it on the head when you said, I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Oh, yes.
I've had happy days. I've had good days. I've had bad days. I've had sad days. I've had so many who love me, I believe. And there are so many that hate you. Because the enemy doesn't, it ain't about me. I found out that the way that you continue to love people that don't love you is you realize that there's a war going on between spirits. And I know for a fact the Spirit of God lives in me. Mm-hmm. So anybody who has the opposite spirit, the spirit of the enemy, they're going to be my enemy. Because of the spirit that's in me. So I learned how to love everybody, even those that don't love me, because I realize it's about spirit, and the enemy don't like the spirit in me. So I'm good with it, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So, yes, I've seen the good, the bad, the ugly. I've been loved. I've been hated. But it's all right. Is just part of the journey.
Oh, yes. I'm thankful. We are talking to Ms. Evelyn Turrentine, AG. She's a stellar award winner and just has so many accolades there. And you know, I like to listen to you and your son, you know, have these discussions. And I'm going to ask you something. I'm going to have no Pastor Boland follow up after you respond. I know let's talk about, you know, blending ministry and entertainment together, and I know how you speak on, you know there's no ministry and industry, you know, like I say, a promoter might have you had them invite your singles on there, and some of them might say, look here, y'all just hear the same, but we ain't got no, you know, you ain't over here to be preaching nobody. I booked y'all the same, but you know, I know there's real ones like people like yourself then that's all very real about, you know, what you're doing. So how can you balance that? You know, you have a promoter saying, hey, y'all just hear the same, don't you be preaching all that stuff. So how would you balance that, and knowing something in you know you're there to minister, but at the same time, You know, you got to kind of like do what the promoter says. You know, they're paying you to be there. So how would you kind of like balance that off?
Well, the first thing is, if a promoter feels like that, they usually they're booking you because they have heard you before, or seen you before, or they know of you from other people, so they have some idea of what your ministry is like. When you hit the floor, they already know, so they normally would tell you, or tell, in my case, my booking person, look, I don't want her to preach, I want her to come and sing, and she would discuss with them. Now, you understand, if you've seen her ministry, have you seen her minister before? Do you know what her ministry is like? If you do, you know that there are some instances where she's going to speak a word as she ministers in song. But I believe that when we're hired, if a promoter hires us, then we ought to try to do what we're asked to do. And I do that. I try to do what I'm asked to do. But if it becomes a conflict between the anointing that God has placed in my life and on me for the ministry of song, and I am an ordained minister, then I believe God is an orderly God. He's a God of order. And if I've been asked and I accept the engagement, then I'm going to be in order with the promoter. That does not say that I'm going to quench the Spirit of God in me, but I will be in order. I will not do a whole set of preaching. I believe the God in me will follow as the promoter has asked me to, and most of my ministry will be in my song.
Okay. That sounds good. Pastor Bolden, how you feel about that? You know, I don't know if you've been in that situation or whatever, you know, you have a, you know, calling on your life, you know, you know what you're there to do. You know, you got a situation where, you know, whereby he, you know, he'd be doing all this, you know, ministering and stuff, singing. You here just do this one thing. We pay you to put. Like I heard a promoter say, "Well, we get all this. Who go put butts in the seats?" No, pretty much, you know. So yeah. Like what's your take on what she said, and what's your take on, you know these promoters wanting you to. I know, I guess keep you in a box and not just, you know, letting all this cut loose, you know, like they need to.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I agree with what she's saying, you know, that I think the first thing is to make sure you get all of that straight up front, what's expected, what's allowed, what's not allowed. And because, you know, believe it or not, people, some promoters and some people, in my case, being a minister, you know, in my case, it's been churches and pastors and things like that. They have in their mind the way they want things to go. Of course, you and I, and we know, you know, we're being led by the Spirit. Sometimes the Lord don't go by our program. And so then, you know, especially when you know how the Lord might move through you, then you may ask, you know, sometimes the Lord lead me to do this way. You try your best not to stir the pot with people and not to offend people, especially people that have called you in to minister and things like that. But, you know, at the same time, we have to try to get that straight up front and, you know, see if the promoter or the hosting pastor or whoever would have a problem with however the Holy Spirit may choose to lead. Now, in my case, I've been invited to churches to preach, and I've had preachers ask me, pastors, in fact, ask me, so what are you going to preach on? And you know, in my case, I may say, well, I don't know yet, because I can't tell you the number of times I've gotten up to say one thing. In my mind, this is what the way the Lord want me to go, but then it goes in a completely different direction. And so, you know, in those cases, I think it's also a matter of the promoter or the hosting pastor feeling comfortable with you and trusting in you and the idea that you are actually being led by the Spirit of God and things like that. So I think it's, you know, about building relationships and making sure that the other person, the hosting pastor or the promoter, understands that, you know, how you operate and how the Lord may use you, you know. The Bible makes it clear that there are different functions of the Holy Spirit, that he might lead you to do something, and maybe that's the way y'all do it there, but then, you know, he may use me in a completely different way, and I imagine we have to be okay with that, allowing the Lord to use us how he chooses. But I think it's just a matter of getting those things set straight up front so that, you know, there aren't any misunderstandings and, you know, you aren't burning bridges, I guess you could say. But at the same time, not quenching the Holy Spirit to where, you know, basically shutting him down where he can't move the way he want to move at any particular time in service.
All right, yeah, that's good advice from both ends, y'all. We have Ms. Evelyn Tarantine AG on the phone with us, you know, talking about the gospel music, the ins and outs of the good and bad and the ugly of it. Now, Ms. Evelyn, also, I know you're talking about entertaining on stage. I know that some people are for that and some people are against it. But here's my question. I'm asking for you first, Mother Evelyn. I just wanted shouldn't artists be concerned about how God views their entertainment? I know the word entertain has like different meanings. You know, one is to amuse, and then like another one to like I was just looking at it. One to, I guess, amuse people. Then another one is to like show hospitality, or whatever. And you know, I understand, you know, the artists, you know, they got to make a living, you know, and they'll get the bookings and all that stuff. You know, some, I don't know, it looks extreme, you know, maybe somebody could do the splits, turn the cogwheel or whatever, and they get booked for the rest of the year. Okay, that's fine and dandy, but shouldn't artists, you know, take consideration, you know, how does God feel about that? You're ministering, but at the same time, somebody shake their hips, gyrate their hips, do a little, you know, dance step, entertain, like late Lee Williams. He just stood flat footed, and he delivered. And you know, and then that's some artists, you know, they got to do some choreograph. So I'm just thinking, you know, though, shouldn't at some point, shouldn't artists be like, okay, shouldn't we be concerned about how the God is viewing us, you know, doing all this extra, you know, entertaining, you know, to give people eye candies? Shouldn't we have some kind of consideration of that? Or do you think?
I believe that's why it's necessary to start off right. Mm-hmm. And when I say start off right, when I said first things first, the first thing is to have a relationship with God. That artist that's presenting in relationship with God, which means God is in control. And because your spirit is to please him, and to, while we are ministering to the people, it's the spirit in God through us that's doing the work. And when God is doing the work through us, our intention is right. Uh-huh. Our intention is to bless the people through and with ministry. It's my intention is never to entertain anybody. And it's ironic that you mentioned Lee. I say all the time, Lee stood flat-footed and sung, but there is no gospel artist out there that's more entertaining than Lee was. And I say that about entertaining because Lee held your attention. When he was on the floor, he didn't move. He saw, and if he moved, they had to call the ambulance to come get the people. 'Cause it was just like fire in the house. And to that I say, because God had anointed him to be Lee Williams. And as long as he operated in Lee Williams and how God was blessing him and directing him, I believe each of us are made uniquely. God made us uniquely. And he poured something unique in each one of us. And if we find that uniqueness dedicated back to God, presented to him as we minister to the people, then whatever movement that you see, if any, if there's any move, at one time they were calling me the Gospel Tina Turner. Because I was, I felt like I got to move. That's how I felt. Well, time, age, kind of calmed that down.
Mm-hmm.
But to start with, I gave God all of me. Never inappropriate movement. I heard you say gyrating and all of that. And today, a lot of artists feel like they have to do all of that stuff to their purpose is to entertain.
Right.
Now, if what you bring is entertainment, but your purpose is to come giving God glory through what you do in your ministry to the people, then they will be entertained. I'm reminded of the word tells us to be fishers of men. And I believe that in order to catch fish, you got to have the right bait. And if what you present on the stage is not keeping the attention of the people, or if the people are not going to pay attention enough to hear your ministry, then you can't minister to them. So something has to keep their attention. I pray that through my ministry, that it is the anointing, the supernatural anointing, because not only will it keep their attention, but it will bless them. The supernatural anointing will break and destroy yokes and remove burdens. And in that, people are being blessed. And a lot of times people feel like the blessing was entertainment. Now, some of us, and we're having this information, I can tell you've been listening to my son's show and some of mine. When we minister to people and we are what some call entertaining, the purpose is for you to get the glory from it. But our purpose needs to be that God be glorified. And then whatever your uniqueness is, whatever your movement is, if your movement is to stand flat-footed like Lee did and don't move, then the job is done. The ministry is done. But if it happens that you're skipping across the stage under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, then you'll be in order and it'll be appropriate.
Oh yes, Pastor Bowden, you want to add on to that?
I completely agree. You know, just kind of like what I was saying earlier, how there are different administrations of the Holy Spirit and different functions, and you know, I believe that the Lord can use people however he chooses, you know, in an appropriate manner to bring himself glory. So I completely agree with that and grateful to be part of the interview with our dear sister and mother to be able to get some wisdom concerning the entertainment industry and some of the things that she has seen and, you know, just the wisdom and how to carry yourself in that industry.
That is so, Brother Howard, today I hear so much and I've been really prayerful and talking to so many people about what impact can I have on younger gospel enthusiasts in music. because things have changed so much and seems to be constantly changing. Well, I hear all the time from younger generations, well, things have changed. It's a new generation. And my word is, yes, times are changing and times have changed, but holiness is still right. And even though God advances things in time, God is still the same God today, yesterday, and forevermore. And as long as we're operating in and through Him and giving Him glory, whatever the change is, then it'll be appropriate and it'll be right. But I've seen the face of Quartet, and when I say that, the face of Quartet on the stage now is, for the last 2 years, I have voluntarily and purposely not been on the road because of the pandemic. I chose to sit out. And but of course, through social media and all this age of technology, we can still experience a lot of stuff that in days past we could not have. As a matter of fact, I don't want to discourage anybody else, but I've gotten used to having church on Sunday morning on my couch in my living room. I have not gone back in the building yet, though my church has gone back in the building. I have to be transparent. After I left a large, large gathering in 2020, I came home with COVID. And I'm a long hauler. I couldn't talk, keep a conversation, and breathe at the same time from March to September. And even after that, I suffered a lot of symptoms of fatigue, tiredness, and everything. So, but I did not miss being in church, because my church streams every Sunday morning. I hear the word. I hear words of inspiration. I am blessed in praise and worship. I'm blessed by the Judah dancers of my church. And of course, I hear the word every Sunday morning, and I'm blessed by it. I pay my tithes and my offerings and my seed offering every Sunday morning, sitting right here on my couch at my house. But I praise God that He's kept me, and I'm ready now. As a matter of fact, I'm taking dates to go out again. I'm saying that even though times have changed, I've watched the face of Quartet Gospel Concerts has changed, because just 2 or 3 years ago, when we said a major quartet concert, what we called major then is not the same now. Major quartet programs, I saw in my day, if you didn't have a Canton Spirituals, a Doc McKenzie, a Lee Williams, a spiritual, the Pilgrim Jubilee, Spencer Taylor, people like that, then it wasn't called major.
Right.
But today, the newer generation of gospel quartet singers does not necessarily include those legendary names. And they're selling out concerts.
Oh yeah, that is something. Okay, we have Miss Evelyn Turrentine, AG, known as the Queen of Quartet on the Phone. You know, just sharing some knowledge. She's known as a legend. And so she's been at this a long time, and just grateful to she just share some of this knowledge with us. I wanna get on the competition and the cutthroat nature of this industry. Because in my opinion, I hear the word competition and amongst the singers. I don't know, that just kind of just got a funny feeling about that. That's just me. I know amongst them quartetters, you know that maybe they've been locked back in the dressing room and say, oh yeah, y'all watch us. We finna dump this house. Somebody might see it as friendly competition or whatever. But
I hear you using some Harold T. terms.
Yeah,
my son. For everybody who doesn't know, Harold Turrentine, A.K.A. Harold T., is my son, and that's one of his famous words, his favorite words. There's nothing wrong with friendly competition.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he has his explanation and definition for friendly competition.
Right.
But I believe that when we go to the stage, our intention, and I believe God checks the intent of the heart. If we're actually talking about, and I keep thinking about, I want to sing this song that some of my friends here in Detroit, the Trumpelettes, recorded a song that said, "Is God pleased with me?"
Mm-hmm.
Is God pleased with me? If my intention is to please God. Of course, God don't want no trashy, any kind of thing, just like I don't, and nobody else does. I said that to say, when I go to the stage, I'm going to give the best I have. And the first thing in giving my best is to surrender my will to God's will.
Mm-hmm.
To surrender my way, even though I have to go to the stage prepared. And when I go, I have, if you will, a program in my head necessarily, because I got a band, I got backup singers, they have to follow me. I'm following Christ in my preparation to go to the stage. Many times when I have an engagement, I'm moved by God to fast before the performances or before I go wherever I'm going. Many times I'm led to fast. But there's never a time, never ever a time, that I go to the stage without praying first.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in situations where I've had to run straight out of whatever we were riding in, straight out, straight into the church, straight to the stage. But if I didn't have time to stop and pray with my unit before we got to the stage, I never start without praying on the stage.
Mm.
That's what I need. That's not for everybody. I don't say that's what everybody has to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how I'm led in my ministry to seek God first to seek him, his will, his way, what would you have me do? Even though I go prepared and my people know what we have prepared, but they also know if the Spirit of God leads me a different way, then we are studied, and by that I mean rehearsed enough that they can follow me as I follow Christ on the stage.
Oh, yes.
So, competition, regarding competition, I say all of us should all the time, every time, anytime, give God the very best we have. And in giving God the best, it's not necessarily that I'm trying to outdo you or sing better than you sing or sing higher than you sing or make more roles than you did or whatever. Mm. But I go giving what I do, all I've got, the very best I have. And if that is translated into competition with somebody else, I'm more in competition with myself than I am with somebody else when it comes to the intent of my heart.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope it answers you.
Okay. Yeah, Pastor Boone, you want to hear what you say. I know myself, you know, I've played the guitar. Like I said, I travel locally. And sometimes just to be at a church where I used to attend, I had other musicians come in. They see me, they try to hit a note, see if I can play it. I'm like, me personally, I don't have time for that. I'm just focusing on hitting my notes and whatever. And I remember one guitar player, I'm just sitting in the audience, you know, enjoying the group. And he looking at me like pointing his guitar towards me every time he hit a lick. I'm like, man, that's not even called. I'm not there for that. I could just sit back and enjoy other musicians.
And I'll even join in with them. I've been on major stages. I say this laughingly. One year in Birmingham, Alabama, for 5 years in a row, I think it was Easter Sunday or Palm Sunday, we went every year the same Sunday to Birmingham, Alabama. And most of the time, Leomia Boyd was on with us too. And she would always come on stage in front of us. And this one year, I'm telling you, that woman was so powerful out there. And what a Harold T. would say, she was dumping that house.
Mm-hmm.
she was powerful. And I mean, she was doing it well. She was so powerful, she drew me out of my dressing room. And I was standing, I thought, side stage. When I know anything, I was on the stage with her, singing with her.
Oh, yeah. That's
that's the kind of power she had. I had a musician then that he came to the side of the stage, walked out there, and grabbed me because it was a male piano player. He grabbed me and whispered in me. He said, because she would hoop and I would hoop.
Hmm.
She's hoop and I'd hoop higher.
We
were, I mean, caught up in the spirit. That's what it was, caught up in the spirit.
Oh, yeah.
And he pulled me straight out of that spirit because he grabbed me and whispered in my ear, if you hoop one more time, I declare I will not play another note in here.
Oh, yeah.
So somebody would have said that I felt competition. No, I didn't feel competition. I felt the anointing. The sister was anointed. And I just got all up in her anointing. Of course, I had to come on behind her, and I came and did what God gave me to do. So what was the result of all of that? The people were blessed. The people were blessed, and it really didn't matter whether they were, some were blessed by her, some were blessed by me, some were blessed by both of us. So it really didn't matter if the bottom line was we all came to give God glory, which is almost never the case these days. I'm sorry to say that. But reality is not very many of us are concerned about giving God glory. And that is very, very, very unfortunate in these perilous times.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Don't start me preaching. Don't talk,
brother. All right. Yeah, Pastor Bowen, you got to want to add something to this about this. I know it seems like even amongst preachers at times, you know, they you get like 10 of them on one program. They got to do like 5 minutes each or whatever. It seems like to be they trying to outdo one another. So what you say about these competitive nature in this industry, you know, so your so-called friendly competition, what they call it, is there even a place for that?
Well, I believe, as I just explained, the place is everybody give the best they have.
Yeah,
all of us give the best we have. When you go out there, I expect you made a comment about the butts in the seats. Of course, that's industry.
Right.
There'll be no ministry to the people if there's no industry. Because I live in Detroit, Michigan. If I'm going to minister in Birmingham, Alabama, or in Florida, I got to get there.
Right.
I got to have transportation. The fuel's got to be paid for to go in the transportation. All of that, that's industry. So I've got to have what it takes on the natural side in order for me to deal with the spiritual side when we're going.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, I won't get there, and the spiritual side won't arrive.
Oh, yeah.
So I got to deal with the natural stuff. And if I don't deal with the natural stuff, the promoter is not going to invite me, because the butts ain't going to sit in the seats for the promoter to have the money to pay me to get there.
Oh, yeah.
So that's reality. When you start dealing with reality, and I have been. Old people used to say, some old people had this saying, we're so heavenly bound that we're no earthly good. When we deal with the reality that we are spiritual beings, but we live in a natural body, and we've got to deal with natural things. A very wise old preacher that I loved, and I followed him before I gained the wisdom of the word and the knowledge of God. I always had a zeal, but not according to knowledge in my early years. I loved the Lord because I was saved for real at 9 years old. And I had a zeal, but I didn't have the knowledge that I have now of the word and the understanding. But a wise old preacher that couldn't even have read said this to me. He said, baby, because we had a Sunday morning ministry where we would feed people that come in off the street, and I had a live broadcast in the building. And he said, baby, when somebody walks in here hungry, before you start preaching to them and quoting scriptures, feed them first. Give them some food. some natural food. Because if they're hungry, all the scriptures you quote ain't going to stop their stomach from growling.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as they're hungry and hurting, they don't hear what you're saying no way. He said, but when if they're hungry and you give them some natural food, you've already ministered to them because you ministered to their need, which was their need for some natural food. Now you could give them some spiritual food. That wisdom, I learned that we have to, if we're going to be true ministers, we need to operate in wisdom and not be so spiritual that we miss reality and we miss the real thing. And the bottom line, I think, what Reverend Robinson was saying, that old minister was saying, when you minister love first, hallelujah, when you minister love first, you've already preached a sermon to them without quoting one scripture.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done.
Pastor Bolton, you want to add on to that?
I wanted to ask a question, if you don't mind.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, so I wanted to ask her, Sister Evelyn, you were saying earlier about, you know, starting off right. In other words, having a relationship with God, with the Lord before you get into the industry. And that should, you know, that should be the first thing, which I sincerely believe that's true. But I was wondering, have you ever seen anyone start off right and then allow the industry to change them, the gospel music industry to change them? And also, after that, my question is, how did you remain steadfast and unchanged in the Lord?
Pastor, I truly believe that, well, let me first say yes. Not only have I seen it, I still see it all the time. People who come in with the right intentions, with the right mindset, and they get deterred. I'm sure my booking person, I call her my sister in the Lord. I'm sure she's listening. And she is so transparent. She was saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled as a young woman. We're both from St. Louis, Missouri. She came out on the road with a professional group, saved, a mama who raised her in a saved environment. But she got out on the road and got involved with people who were not only involved with God, weren't serious about God. They were doing all kinds of things. She ended up getting entangled in that. Ended up strung out on drugs, sleeping around everywhere. Ended up not only on drugs, but going to prison. All of that. After coming out there, saved, but getting involved in an environment that she was young, she was impressionable, and she got drew away. But I praise Almighty God that His word is right and real and true. Her mother trained her up in the way that she should go. And even though she strayed away, she came back. And today, she gave God her life. So yes, I've seen it. I see it today. And I created a room in Clubhouse because I saw people in our gospel industry, and I heard the filth and the nastiness and the ugliness and the discussions that not only didn't include God, but if somebody start talking about God, these gospel musicians and artists will tell you, we ain't talking about that. Things have changed. It ain't about that no more. I created a prayer room in the clubhouse for every Monday night. The purpose of that prayer room is to pray for different situations, such as you do here, Brother Howard, and to discuss those situations and to encourage and uplift and to hear what God has to say about life issues and industry issues. As a matter of fact, this past week, we discussed, our subject was sex and the contemporary gospel song. And I had the Dr. Deborah Smith Pollard, one of the few gospel historians in this country. She's a friend of mine. She's a professor at the University of Michigan. And she writes books on gospel music and all that. But she discussed how in the contemporary songs, they're dealing with life issues. And many times, it's about sexuality. She named artists and groups and songs that artists are dealing with these issues in their gospel songs. I hope I'm not out of order when I quote these lyrics from a song that one of our national gospel singers, the title of the song, if anybody needs to check it out, the title of the song is Fighting Temptations. The artist is Dietrich Haddon. And Dietrich's song is talking about how he's trying to live a saved life. He's a man trying to live according to God has directed. But he's drawn away, trying to be drawn away by seductive women in the church, in the industry, talking about trying to get him in her bed. And one of the lines that triggered our discussion Monday night, there's a line in his song that says, "All I see is your booty and your cleavage." That's a gospel song. Other gospel songs dealing with women talking about their lesbianism, how God changed them from being lesbians in gospel. So, Brother Howard, you have to stop me. You got me started.
Oh yeah, well, now one thing, Ms. Evelyn. Now, yeah, my name is Harold. Same as your son, Harold T. Yeah, my first name is Harold, not Albert.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're okay. Fine. Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's something I feel.
I'm sorry, you got charged that to 76 years old.
No, that's all right. Yeah, we can be getting ready on wrap it up. Pastor Bone, you want to give the people your website or how they may be able to reach out to you?
Yes, it's www.onetruth.tv. That's www.TRUTH.tv.
Oh yeah, y'all be sure to check them out on YouTube. It's got, what you got, over 1,700 videos on there?
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, y'all be sure. They covers a variety of topics on there. And Ms. Evelyn, I really do appreciate you coming on. I tell you, I really enjoyed it. I'm glad you was able to come on here and be a part of this discussion.
I am so, so, so honored that you invited me. And at first I was thinking, oh my God, it's my bedtime and I got to do an hour. I told my sister in Christ, I said, an hour? But I'm telling you, this felt like 15 minutes. I've enjoyed it so much,
oh,
Pastor
yeah.
Bolden. I pray that one day I'll have an opportunity to meet you in person. And Harold, I thank you and I appreciate you for considering me and allowing me to be here and you sharing with me and allowing me to share with you and your audience. Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Evelyn, before we get out of here, do you have any upcoming projects coming on, or is there anything you want to promote and let, you know, let people know what you're doing?
Well, some people may already know that God Did It has been is being redone, and it's not Sister Evelyn that's the artist doing it, though. Hopefully, Sister Evelyn will be doing it with the artist that's doing it now. I had a meeting today regarding new music that Ms. Evelyn would be doing in a new project. So all I say is keep your ears to Brother Harold here and other platforms, and just follow me. I'm on Facebook. I'm in Clubhouse. My Clubhouse room is called Phenomenal Praying Women, and we're on every Monday night at 6 o'clock Central Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. And we're having open, transparent conversations. And you're already familiar with my son Harold T.
Mm-hmm.
But in my room on Monday night, I've got three granddaughters. All of them are preachers. Woo! They're some powerful young women. All right.
Well, that's a whole
nother
subject.
Yes, it is. That's a whole nother subject. So I invite you to join me, follow me on Facebook or in Clubhouse, and pray for Mother, Sister Evelyn turned teenager.
Sure will. Okay, now I want to remind everybody to meet Pastor Bolden August 7th in DeVille, Louisiana, on the corner of Elm Street and Vine for a tent service. So, y'all mark DeVille, Louisiana, August 7th. That's on a Sunday. The time will be determined at a later time. I want to thank Pastor Bolden for, you know, helping me out host the show, and another thanks to Mother Evelyn Turrentine AG, the Queen of Quartet, for this interview. But next time, I want to thank you all for joining. Thank you all for listening. God bless you all, and we'll see you next time.
To AM 1490, WWPR, Bradenton, Sarasota, Tampa Bay.